Well, first of all, I'd like to thank Pastor Jason and everybody behind the scenes for allowing us youth this opportunity to worship and study in front of the entire church. Now, let's begin. We all have heroes, people who have done something truly remarkable. Over the past week, but really over many different years, there's one person who has stood out significantly. Her name is Miss Tilly Bergen. And she is the founder of Mission to Arlington and has led it for 38 years. Miss Tilly Bergen is a remarkable leader. She is a far-reaching visionary who is gifted in equipping people and enlisting them in visions far greater than they are, first in South Korea and now at Mission Arlington. When Miss Tilly walks into a room, a hush falls over. You can hear the whispers. There it is. There she is. It's Miss Tilly. Even rooms full of tired teenagers on a busy Mission Arlington morning, there's a rare respect that commands attentiveness. But why is she so remarkable? Well, she listened to God and followed the Great Commission to great lengths and does so 364 days a year. She actually convinced herself to take Christmas Day off. Can all be proud of that? Our family is so grateful to know her. See, Miss Tilly Bergen gives her life for the Great Commission. But what is the Great Commission, and how does it affect our everyday lives? If we want to understand these ideas better, we are going to have to look at scriptural support in context. You see, throughout this sermon, you can think of it as a ladder. We are going step by step up this ladder to understand the Great Commission better. Each ladder has two supporting beams, and in this case, it is the Great Commission and the historical context. If we lose one, the whole thing falls apart. So, we are going to climb this ladder by looking at a brief overview of the history of God's presence with humanity, and then seeing how that reflects and adds context to the Great Commission as we know it today. And adding on to that, we will see the great gifts God has given humanity, and once again, how to walk forward with this information. But first, I can't really tell you guys about the Great Commission without actually showing the Great Commission. And Jesus said to them, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age." In short, the Great Commission is God giving his people an opportunity to share in the good news of salvation, allowing us to play a role in his saving work, allowing us to see him bring others into the fold, into a state of Emmanuel, God with us. This charge has been placed on every single one of us. So if we want to join in the joy of our Heavenly Father and grow the kingdom and find a deeper understanding of what this charge means for us, we will want to know more. See, Scripture shows that God wants to be with his creation. The Great Commission is an extension of that will. We can even see this in the title of Emmanuel, God with us. In his heart of hearts, God wants to be with humanity. He wants to be with us. Now, let's take our first step up the ladder, and let's look at the garden, the blueprint of paradise. We see in Genesis 3:8, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. The man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." We see that God was present with humanity in the Garden of Eden. This was his plan from the very beginning. This verse occurs after the fall, but we can still see that God dwelt with humanity, and he wanted to dwell with humanity. He pursued humanity even after we turned away. See, this beautiful bond is the first example of Emmanuel, the gift of the garden, God's eternal presence, and a charge to grow and expand the garden. But instead, we decided it would be better to be our own gods, deciding sin and self over God's presence. But God, he would not let that be the end of the story. Exodus 33:9, When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. This takes us to the next step up this ladder. We go from the garden to the old covenant, and with it, God's desire to be with his people and lead them. See, God set out a way for his people to still communicate with him. He created the tabernacle, the place on earth where humanity and God's presence could coexist. It was a small pocket of Eden. God was once again with his people, but humanity turned from God to sin once again. The tabernacle was not the final solution. Later, the temple was built by Solomon. The Ark of the Covenant was brought into the temple, as we see in 1 Kings 8, 6 through 11. First, in verse 6, we see, then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the most holy place underneath the wings of the cherubim. Then we see later in verse 10, and when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord. So the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. See, God, in his mercy, set a temple for Israel to come to him in awestruck worship, where he could lead his people and guide them in a way he saw fit, in a way that would prosper them and benefit them. But the Israelites, like us, were still sinful. They turned to their own ways. Once again, God's people left the gift of the garden presence. This scene plays out over and over and over. God comes for us, but we turn away. The temple, like the aforementioned, was temporary. Soon Babylon swept in and carried God's people into exile. The temple was destroyed. It was the darkest time the Israelites had ever faced. But in that dark time of exile, a promise was made. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. This takes us to the third step up our ladder. After the garden and the old covenant, now we reach the gospel. The Son of God himself comes to us in human form, Emmanuel personified. God did not abandon us in the old covenant, but he went so far as to create a new one to draw us closer to himself. The Savior of the world, at no small cost to himself, gave us the free gift of salvation. Jesus set aside his throne for a cross, so that we could be with him for all eternity. God's desire to bless his creation has even gone so far to humble himself as a sacrificial lamb. This is the continuing proof and gift of God's steadfastness, which is salvation. 3 days after his crucifixion, he rose again. And after he rose again, he stayed with his disciples for a short time. But he promised something. He promised that a helper would come. After ascending into the heavens, the disciples waited for this helper to arrive. Acts 2, 1 through 4 states, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We have been given eternal presence with the Lord. The Holy Spirit has come down to us, bringing the gift of the garden into our own lives. Forever, God is with us. He did not abandon us. The gift of Emmanuel has spread to the church. We are living in the gift of the garden. So, in a short recap, we've gone up three steps: the garden, the old covenant, and now the gospel. we have seen the evidence of God's steadfastness. But now that we have the gift of salvation in God's presence, what does God call us to do with these gifts? Well, once again, let's look back to the beginning, back to the garden. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves along the ground." See, God is present with us, but it doesn't stop there. He calls us to pour into the people and community around us. Just as he calls Adam to take care of and extend the garden, he takes care of us so that we can extend the church. He calls us to extend the church. And this parallels the Great Commission. We are called to extend the spiritual garden. The spiritual garden is the body of Christ, God with his people. The all-knowing, all-powerful God is with us, and he wants us to expand his kingdom and his garden all throughout the earth. Zachary Garris puts it this way: "All God's covenants are connected and fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ, the royal offspring who restores his people to communion with the Father. Now King Jesus commands his church to be fruitful and multiply, to make disciples of all nations who will one day reign with him in the new heavens and the new earth." In fulfillment, the Great Commission is the charge to expand the spiritual garden. This charge commands us to go out and minister so that the kingdom would grow. This is the charge we have been called for since the foundation of the earth. See, this is the next step up the ladder. The fact that God is too good to leave it there. God has given us purpose. From the gospel, we see the Great Commission. Through this, we can see the charge God has given us and his gift of purpose. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, once again. "And Jesus came to them and said to them, 'All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" We see here that God has given us a role in his saving work. We can see that this parallels the garden's "be fruitful and multiply." Just as Adam was called to populate the world with image bearers and expand the garden, we are called to redeem image bearers and expand the spiritual garden. We are called to extend it in our families, in our communities, in anyone we meet. We are given a purpose to reach others and minister to them, so that in God's mercy, he might reach them. This charge goes down to the core of who we are as followers of Christ. We are called to evangelize or spread the good news. Now this charge, I used to think of it as homework or Christian overtime. That's not it at all. This charge, this purpose, it's a gift. How are we to be fulfilled without purpose? And what greater purpose than the spreading of the good news of the kingdom? Now we have reached the top of our ladder. From the garden to the old covenant to the gospel. From the gospel we find our purpose, and now we see that that purpose is a gift. This is why we are called to a life of fulfillment, presence, and purpose. This is why Mission Arlington gets larger and larger every single year. We can see this spiritual gardening at Mission Arlington. Selfless acts of sacrifice, moments of uncomfortability, and continual worship. That is what our true purpose is. Now, I had the pleasure of helping to lead a group. Kaylin was my co-leader, and we got to our Rainbow Express group. And as she mentioned, when we got there, They all spoke Spanish. I don't know if you know anything about me. I speak no Spanish. So it seemed that God had hung us out to dry. That he had sent us out to be bored out of our minds because all we can do with these kids is barely play soccer with them. That's how it felt the first day. We can't do this. We can't do anything. But that wasn't it at all. See, through our little effort that we could give, God took it and he multiplied it. Through several people being able to translate for us in several apps like Google Translate or Say Hi, we were able to make a connection with those kids. And glory be to God, 7 in our group accepted Christ. 7, yeah. Now, this is why I tell you this. There was a look in those children's eyes. It was light. It was hope. It was beautiful. But something that stood out to me in particular is it didn't stop at the children. My teammates, my co-leader, that same light was in their eyes. Why? Because they were experiencing their true purpose. This is what we were created for. This is what we are here for. These gifts are to be set in our lives to glorify our great God and to worship him forever and ever. See, now I want to leave you with a few things to consider. Where can you help grow the spiritual garden? How can you reach out into the community around you and make use of the gifts God has empowered us with? Your part doesn't have to change the whole world. But maybe, just maybe it will. Perhaps it is just having a cup of coffee with a friend, or spending time investing to the hearts and lives of a young person. But God can change hearts and call people to repentance, call people to himself. All he calls for is a little intentionality. But today is youth-led worship, so I'd like to specifically, if I may, and intentionally apply this to my generation as we close today. Speaking of intentionality, this week we invited Dr. Richard Ross to speak at Mission Arlington. Dr. Richard Ross, my brother's namesake, is a youth ministry professor at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Try saying that 10 times fast. We invited him to speak to our group this week. Dr. Ross's heart is for all teenagers to come to know and passionately worship King Jesus. He likes to quote Jonathan Edwards, the key figure in the First Great Awakening. He has said, "And it indeed has commonly been so. When God has begun any great work for the revival of the church, he has taken the young people and cast off the old and stiff-necked generation." He has taken the young people. You see, many people think teenagers want to be entertained. While that is fun, me being a teenager, you didn't know. But those who genuinely know believing teenagers know that they want to matter. They want to be a part of some grand adventure. They want to get caught up in some cause that is greater than themselves. That cause, it's the Great Commission. Adolf Hitler built his new Germany on a foundation of teenage Nazis by capturing the hearts of the young people. China's Red Guard, mostly made up of teenagers, turned China upside down. Castro was able to seize the imagination of the Cuban youth and lead them into revolution. See, young people can change a culture for worse or for far far better. And the gospel, the Great Commission, is the mightiest tools of all change. You see, students sparked the first and second Great Awakening. The global awakening of 1904 was sparked by a middle school girl. We as teenagers long to accept the challenge to rise up. Consider everything else a loss and join the King in changing the world through his Great Commission. It was his greatest adventure plan from the start. Will you join us? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity you have given us as the youth to worship you before the entire congregation. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to show them our hearts. Lord, I pray that in our efforts at Mission Ellington, you would take it, you would multiply it. Lord, I pray for every single child that we have come in contact with, that you would speak to them and bring them closer to themselves. Lord, I pray for a revival in the hearts of the young people, that you would capture our imagination and lead us further to yourself. We love you and we trust you. In your name I pray. Amen.